Our scripture reading today is from 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 6. Hear the word of the Lord. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now by this we may be sure that we know Him, if we obey His commandments. Whoever says, I have come to follow Him, but does not obey His commandments, is a liar. And in such a person, the truth does not exist. But whoever obeys His word, truly in this person, the love of God has reached perfection. By this, we may be sure that we are in Him. Whoever says, I abide in Him, ought to walk as He walked. This is the word of the Lord. In the restored book that y'all are using in Sunday school, Tom Berlin talks about skydiving this week. I'm fairly confident that I will never do any skydiving in my lifetime. I'm pretty sure of that. I have a hard enough time just getting on a plane. There's no way I'm going to jump off of it. That ain't happening. I've had hard enough time getting on the thing in the first place. Several weeks ago, Susan made a comment about going to a family reunion in San Diego. I didn't bring it up anymore. I pretended like I didn't hear that. I didn't acknowledge it, didn't bring it up. I was praying in the hopes that it's just one of those things that sometimes you say but never actually comes to fruition. And I was getting hopeful. I hadn't heard any more about it. And I was looking at my email this week, and up popped flight reservations. I was going to pray that my name was not one of those on the list of reservations, but I figured that would be futile. I know my name's there. I opened it up. It's there. So I'm slowly coming to grips with the fact that I'm going to be getting on a plane in June and flying to San Diego. Not something I'd want to do, but I'll be doing that. So Tom Berlin had never skydived in his life, and he decided to do what is called a tandem jump. And in that scenario, you are actually connected to the instructor. And you know, you're just directly connected, and the instructor kind of knows what's going on. And by doing that, the instructor just kind of ensures that everything goes okay and you go through with the jump and things like that. And he used that metaphor to highlight our relationship with Jesus and how our lives should be lived out as disciples of Jesus Christ. And the movement from justification and then you go on to sanctification and perfection is kind of like that tandem jump when it comes to skydiving. He noted that there was a certain amount of fear associated with skydiving, which I can understand that. There's a certain amount of fear with that. Most of us won't be skydiving, though, anytime soon. Probably not anyway. But there are things in life that can be fearful. There are things in life that are fearful and prevent us from, you know, maybe fulfilling some of the things that God has in store for us just because of that fear sets in. And that fear can can set in, and it can kind of prevent us from our Christian walk. We can be fearful of changing things. John Wesley preached a sermon called On Perfection, and he preached that on the first half of the first verse in the book of Hebrews. And that first half of that verse says, "Therefore, let us go on to perfection." That's where he stopped. I'll read a few more verses beyond that. It says, "Leaving behind the basic teaching about Christ and not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, instruction about baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. We will do this if God permits, for it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of life in the Word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, since on their own they are crucifying again the Son of God and are holding him up to contempt." So Wesley's concept of perfection is not, it is not perfect in every way, shape, or form. He understood that we still sin in our life. We still have struggle. We still have temptations and all that kind of stuff. But he talks about being perfected in love. That's what Wesley understood as far as perfection goes, that we abide to be in Christ and be perfected by his love. And that doesn't mean that we're perfect in every way, shape, or form. One of the things this text talks about here is kind of moving away from the edge or from the boundary, and I've talked about that before, and moving towards the center. And that's kind of moving away from some of the foundational things. You know, like when you build a house, you build the foundation. You want to make sure the foundation is good and secure and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, you got to start building the house, you know. And I think that's kind of what this text here that Wesley was preaching on kind of talks about is we need to move on to perfection. We need to move away from those boundary edges and towards the center, and that is Jesus Christ. And it can be kind of difficult to move away from those boundary edges there because we're kind of comfortable out there. And it's kind of difficult to move towards the center. And it's kind of like what he said, it's kind of like talking about skydiving with your feet firmly planted on the ground. You know, I could talk about skydiving all day long. Be fine. But to actually get on a plane and actually go out and do it, that's something else. You know, that's a whole new ball game there. And I think that's some of the challenges we face in the Christian life we are called to essentially leave our old selves behind, and we are to embark on a new life. And in the Gospel of John, it says that we are to be born again, born from above, depending on which interpretation you look at. The Apostle Paul says that we are to become a new creation. So there's this transformation that needs to take place in our lives that moves us from that boundary towards the center that is Jesus Christ. And so when you're doing the skydiving thing and you're in a tandem jump, you are literally connected to the instructor. You're connected by straps and cables and harnesses and all this stuff, and you're just literally connected to the instructor like that. And Tom Berlin argues that we need to be connected to Jesus in that type of way to be restored and to have life in abundance and things like that. Now, sometimes there are denominations, sometimes Christians feel as if there's like this hardwired connection with Jesus. And whereas Methodists, I don't think it's quite that way. I think more of it as a software connection, if you will. Now, what does all that mean? Today we live in an age where we have things like this, and we connect to things through Wi-Fi. There's no cable coming out of it. I don't need a cable to connect into something. And I think we're reaching a point with technology where cables are kind of annoying now. We don't like to have a cable on things. We want to be free to roam around and things like that. And sometimes hardwired Christians kind of insist that you have to have this hardwired cable, and you're kind of limited in your movement, but you're really connected to Christ in that way. And I think that's just too rigid. That just doesn't seem to be scriptural to me. Wesley and United Methodists tend to understand that there's more of that soft connection where you have that freedom to move around. And it's like a Wi-Fi connection. If you stay nearby, that signal is good, that signal is strong. But as you drift away, and you can, you're not directly hardwired connected. You can move, but then sometimes you can move out of that range and that signal drops. But then new signals pop up and you see all these other things pop up and you can connect to these other things, you know. And those connections sometimes are not secure. They're kind of dangerous to tap into a connection that you're not really sure what's there, what's going to happen, you know. And that's kind of how it is, I think, is that we have those temptations and some of those things where we begin to drift away from the source, who is Jesus, and that strong, secure signal, that strength that is there. We drift away and we begin to tap into other things. And that's kind of dangerous in this world that we live in and in our walk with Jesus Christ. Dallas Willard says there are two types of spiritual disciplines. One type is what he calls the discipline of abstinence. And those might be solitude, silence, frugality, secrecy, chastity, sacrifice, things of that type. And essentially what he's saying there is, in many cases, we need to break some of those connections that we've made with the world and pull away from some of those things and seek out some of the solitude, some of the silence, some of the moving away from the hectic nature of our lives. We all have a lot of things going on in our lives. We can sometimes get too many things going on in our lives. And it takes away from our Christian walk. It takes away from discipleship because you're doing so many things. You're so bombarded by everything that he refers to it as spiritual death by multitasking. And that is so true. You can get your life going in so many directions. Well, I got to do this and I got to do that and I got to take care of this and I got to take care of that and that person, this person. And pretty soon, you're going to be spiritually dead from that. You know, you might feel that you have to do all these things, but if you step away from some of those things and realize that you can't do everything in this world, you can do what you can do, but you can't spread yourself so thin, because eventually you'll be spiritually dead through multitasking in this world. It'll happen. And you'll hit those roadblocks. I've hit those roadblocks. I mean, I worked in the world of technology. It's all fast-paced. It's all program management and deadlines and all that kind of stuff. And I'd wake up at 2 in the morning and go through the whole day ahead in my mind before I even got to work. And then I'd go to work. And then I'd do the same thing over the next day and day in and day out. And that's not good. That's not conducive to life. It's certainly not good to discipleship with Jesus Christ. It just flat isn't a good thing. So breaking some of those connections in this world, probably a good thing. And then making new connections that actually lead to vitality and fruitful lives and things like that. So what are some of those connections that we can make? We can do it through study, through Bible study and things like that. We always have Bible studies going on here. We have Sunday school classes, things like that. Those are good things to do. We have worship. We have the sacraments, which we'll have today. We have prayer, fellowship, confession. I would add witness to that. All those things help us make secure connections to the Lord Jesus Christ, and those things are important in our lives. So it's important to keep those. And I don't know if you want to say a proper balance. I mean, you really have to have a Christ-centered life. You can't have a compartmental life where here's my life, you know, Monday through Saturday, and here's my Sunday life, my church life, my Jesus life. That simply will not cut it. You have to have a Christ-centered life, and other things flow from that. So that's one of the things that I think needs to be stressed these days, that we need to break the not so good connections in our life and make the better connections that we need to make that are help with vitality and things like that. Essentially, in this text that I chose today, the biblical word for connection is abide. I mean, that's probably the closest word I could find in Scripture to relate with connection. To abide in Jesus Christ is to be basically connected to Jesus Christ, to abide in Him and follow His ways. And the writer here in 1 John is very blunt about it. He says, if you claim to abide in Jesus and you're not doing the commandments that Jesus commanded us to do, you're a liar. And he's just that blunt about it. He doesn't sugarcoat things. He just basically says, you're a liar. Your actions have outed you because you are not abiding in Jesus Christ. He says to abide in Jesus Christ, obey his word. And he says this person has the love of God that has reached perfection within them. And that's what Wesley was saying. That's his understanding of perfection, is that the love of God is perfected in you. So in these hectic times that we live in, you know, seek out Jesus Christ, that strong signal, that secure signal. Tap into that, stay near to that, and be mindful of drifting away from that. And I think you know that in your lives. You know when you begin to drift away from that. Be mindful of that and get back into those secure connections, because as it says here in Hebrews, you know, there are some who taste this this word of God, this enlightenment, this eternal sense of being with God, and then drift away from that. He said that's a bad place to be in. You know, is basically what he's saying. You don't want to go down that road. Not saying you can't get back, but it's very difficult once to have tasted that and then drift away from that. Very difficult. So be mindful of that. Stay connected with Jesus Christ and begin that transformation process to move towards the center, away from the boundary. And you'll find that abiding in Christ leads to fruitful lives, peaceful lives, contentment. All these things that I think so many of us desire today are there for ours to have and enjoy through Jesus Christ. Amen.